Answers Magazine, Volume 8.3, Page 9. Perspective: Global Cooling? Some proponents of catastrophic global warming are finally admitting that the actual global temperature is not rising as fast as their models predict. In fact, data published recently by the British Met Office may actually indicate the beginning of a cooling trend. The official global temperatures, published by the Met Office, appear to be dropping out of the range predicted with 90% confidence by computer climate models. Piers Forster, climate change professor at Leeds University, notes, "Global surface temperatures haven't risen in the past 15 years. They make the high estimates unlikely." Professor Judith Curry of the Georgia Institute of Technology agrees that climate models are running too hot and says the current flat trend may continue for two more decades. Most of the scientists who believe the Earth is heating up at catastrophic rates believe the increase in atmospheric carbon dioxide from human activity is the primary cause of increasing global temperature for the past half century. According to creation meteorologist Dr. Larry Vardaman, they have not considered some of the long-term changes in solar activity as a possible explanation for the divergence from their predictions. For years, some creation scientists who specialize in climate have maintained that global warming is driven by cyclical solar effects that the Creator apparently put in place. Over the past 5 years, Dr. Vardaman has been predicting that the global temperature should have started declining sometime after 2000, based on complex statistical studies of the Central England Temperature, CET, records and solar activity. Such data appear to confirm those predictions, although the downturn has taken longer than predicted to begin. The British Met Office has now released strong evidence for this global cooling trend. Based on observations of the solar effects that drive global temperature, Dr. Vardaman and others believe temperatures should continue to decline for several decades to come. Unfortunately, Western governments have invested so much capital and reputation into the carbon dioxide theory that they are unlikely to give up on it anytime soon. This seems to be another sad case where people who reject the Bible's revelation are chasing costly errors. If only they would recognize that we live on a young Earth that has undergone radical climate changes as a result of the flood, they would spend their efforts more wisely on understanding climate problems and solving them. These climate variations should not surprise us or cause undue alarm. We know that God is holding the Earth together until the day of His final judgment, and nothing can destroy it until He dissolves it Himself.
Human clones created to die. A recent breakthrough has enabled scientists to produce cloned human embryos as a new source of embryonic stem cells. The technique is the same one that produced living clones like Dolly the sheep in 1997. This breakthrough suggests that producing human children through cloning may eventually be possible. Many are concerned that in the future, cloned people might be exploited and denied basic human rights. For this reason, the United Nations and European Union are both opposed to human cloning, as are some U.S. states and some countries. Although the embryonic clones are produced using an egg and DNA from the person to be cloned, rather than the result of the union of egg and sperm from parents, the embryos are just as human as embryos that result from in vitro fertilization. The tragedy is that these cloned embryos are created to die. They are killed when their stem cells are harvested. Destroying human embryos to harvest stem cells is wrong, whether the embryos are naturally conceived, clones, or products of in vitro fertilization. All are made in the image of God and are precious in His sight. Incidentally, alternatives to embryonic stem cells are available. Both adult stem cells and induced pluripotent stem cells offer a similar low risk of rejection without destroying human life.
A church for atheists? What happens at an atheist church? That surprising headline appeared recently in BBC News magazine. The article begins, "An atheist church in North London is proving a big hit with non-believers. Does it feel a bit like a new religion?" These atheists are trying to fill a void, according to the BBC reporter. The audience, overwhelmingly young, white, and middle class, appear excited to be part of something new and speak of the void they felt on a Sunday morning when they decided to abandon their Christian faith. But they have chosen to reject the only person who can fill that emptiness, Jesus Christ, the Creator and Savior. They are suppressing the truth about their Creator and the law that is written on their hearts. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, and chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Even in choosing to meet on Sunday, a day traditionally reserved to worship the risen Christ, they are actually shaking their collective fists at a God whose existence they deny. The fact that atheists even bother to congregate to discuss the meaning of life shows just how desperately human beings need the true God. Even when we try to remove God from our lives, we are compelled to fill the void with some other religion. And atheism is undeniably a religious position, a starting point for explaining everything in the universe, although without God. How ironic that people are turning for answers to a religion whose logical conclusion is that life is ultimately meaningless.
Hard to swallow. Many readers must have rubbed their eyes when they saw the headline, "Swallows are evolving shorter wings because they keep getting hit by traffic." A study on why vehicles were killing millions of birds somehow took on a Darwinian twist. For three decades, researchers studied cliff swallows that build nests on highway overpasses. Over the years, the number of sparrows killed by passing cars kept decreasing. Researchers noticed that the wing length of the sparrow population had also decreased. The conclusion? Longer-winged swallows are more susceptible to getting hit because they are slower to fly away from oncoming vehicles. Short-winged birds had a survival advantage that selected them over the longer-winged ones. Creationists have no difficulty acknowledging that such selection occurs and that it can lead to minor variation within species. In this case, wings that are 1/6 of an inch or 4 millimeters shorter. But such selection does not and cannot produce new genetic information that leads to different types of birds. Furthermore, such research does not even begin to explain how the incredibly designed feather and wing first came about. To be fair, the researchers did not call this slight difference in wing length an example of molecules-to-man evolution. The media did. But evolution is so ingrained in modern thinking that most people interpret any biological change as evidence that all living things on Earth arose from this same process. Headlines like, "Swallows are evolving shorter wings because they keep getting hit by traffic," continue to fuel this uncritical acceptance of Darwinism and turn hearts away from the Creator and His Word, beginning in Genesis.